Hi there, listener. I'm Ian Willoughby, and you're very welcome to episode 35 of Prague Talk, a podcast from Radio Prague International. Our guest this time out is Tomáš Vidra, a DJ who's been sharing his extremely deep knowledge of classic blues and rock on the alternative station Radio Jedna for decades. What many listeners may not know is that Tomáš was previously a top-level professional tennis coach, or that he was locked up with his parents in his early teens when the family returned to normalization Czechoslovakia after a lengthy stay abroad. We touched on all of those areas and more when he visited Radio Prague's studios recently. Enjoy our chat now in this episode of Prague Talk. Tomáš, I was reading that you spent time in Africa as a child.
That's actually true, Ian. I spent my childhood in Ghana, in Kumasi, from 1968, obviously, to 1974. My father was a professor at the University of Science and Technology in Kumasi.
What do you recall of that time?
It was absolutely amazing. People are very nice. What I really like, and that what actually brought me to my favorite blues music, was something which in Ghana they called high life music. And it's the roots mixed a little bit with the influences from Europe and the US.
And was it hard for you to readjust to living in Czechoslovakia after being somewhere so colorful?
Oh, when we returned, they put us to jail. So I was sitting in jail for about half a year with my parents because they treated us as immigrants who returned. So that was not big fun.
They put a child in jail?
Oh, yeah. I've been in jail, yeah. And then I was not allowed to go to school. I had to take an apprenticeship and work. And then I got to a college and then studying university. I couldn't do that, so I was studying an evening university. That's what it was called.
The communists put a child in jail?
I wasn't the only one. I was actually one of the oldest. There was five or six kids there, much younger than me.
And you were in a cell with your parents or something?
Oh, yeah. It was called an insane asylum because we were mad to try to leave the country, which actually we didn't, but okay.
Well, that's a totally amazing story. You were a DJ. I'd like to ask you, when did you or how did you first get into music? You mentioned the high life in Ghana. But apart from that, what was the stuff that grabbed you?
Well, because Ghana was such a country ahead of its time, then not only high life music, you got to listen to the Beatles and the Rolling Stones and Birds and other bands. So I already came back with my eyes open.
So you had a big advantage over your peers at home in Czechoslovakia?
Not really. I came back here and I found out there's every Sunday there's a vinyl burza, or you might call
market,
it a
I guess.
Market, on Wenceslas Square. So that's how I started trading with some of the vinyl that I brought with me, and I got new ones. But the burza was moving. Then it was on Španielská Street. Then it went to Kampa. It kept on moving as the police were pushing it out.
And was it legal or was it kind of, did they look the other way or how did it work?
Well, at the beginning, nobody understood what it is. So even the police guys who were sort of controlling the traffic, they just said, move away from the street. But then later on, of course, it became a big thing because even though there was not so much freedom here as in Hungary or Poland, the burza, that was an absolutely unique thing because it was nowhere behind the Iron Curtain. People actually tried to come to Prague from Hungary, from Poland, to go to burza and get some vinyl that they couldn't get their hands on.
And were they also selling taped copies of records?
Yeah, everything, literally. The main thing is that you would go on Sunday, buy a vinyl, tape it at home, and sell it the next Sunday and buy another one. That's how it meant. Or you just trade it for another vinyl, tape it on 10 tapes for your friends. So somebody ended up with a copy from a copy from a copy. It was awful, but they were still happy to have it.
Your first concert was Louis Armstrong, is that true?
Yeah, I was a kid. Yeah, that was before we left. I was quite amazed because it wasn't really my cup of tea at that age. You have to grow to listen to jazz. What I was amazed about at that age is that I was just fascinated by what the musicians can do. Because it was not really about, it was about him, but his musicians were also fabulous. So that's what really struck me. I thought, oh, wow, they can really play those instruments. Because before that, I just thought it's him singing and then somebody playing a little bit. But then you saw all those musicians. That was the thing that I still remember.
You were telling me earlier that you are a hippie. You were a hippie. Was it hard to be a hippie in Czechoslovakia in, let's say, the 80s?
It was very hard. They would cut your hair. Because what happened is they would just meet you on the street and they would ask you for your ID. And if your hair wasn't the same as on your ID, they would just take you to the barbershop and cut your hair. And it's not a barbershop that we know now, you know, these metrosexuals having their beards cut. No, they just cut you for 4 crowns and cut your hair. So what some of us did, and I did as well, is every second month we changed the picture on the ID. So then they couldn't cut your hair.
You're a vegetarian, Tomáš. How did you become, or why did you become a vegetarian?
It is a long story, but the short and most true part is, after they released us from jail, I finished the primary school, and I went to apprenticeships, and I was learning to become a tractor driver in a farm. And in those days, when you saw how they treat the animals on the farm, it was awful. You just can't imagine. And then, of course, I was driving the animals to the slaughterhouse. And when you saw that, you just couldn't eat it. It was impossible. And of course, being a vegetarian in those days, was not fun.
Well, I remember I was a vegetarian here in the early 90s, and that was difficult. I mean, I ate a lot of fried cheese in those days.
That's rubbish, fried cheese. But yeah, that was probably the only meal. But yeah, kind of fried mushrooms. That was also possible. It was hard because if you came to a pub and said, I just want the rice without the meat, they threw you out. First of all, they didn't know how to market just rice with no meat because they had a price. And second, that's where they made the money, on the meat, of course.
I remember one time in a restaurant, a waitress saying, "Chudák," like, poor you, when I said I didn't eat meat.
Yeah, that was hard. Now it's easy.
You've also been a tennis player and coach. Tell us about that aspect of your life, Tomáš.
My mother was a very good tennis player, and so that's where I picked it up, and I played a lot of tennis, obviously, in Africa. That was easy. Coming back here wasn't that easy because I couldn't travel anymore. So even though I played on a reasonably good level, I started coaching very early. So at the end, my coaching career was the amazing part. Because I got to see all the big tournaments in the early 90s. So instead of staying here and trying to privatize a factory and become rich, I just traveled the world as a tennis coach.
Even like Grand Slam tournaments?
Oh, yeah. I've been in Wimbledon several times, US Open. I've been to most of the tournaments for several years.
You're best known as a DJ with Radio Jedna. You have a show now called Stare Poledne, which I guess means old noon. Radio Jedna, or Radio 1, is a real institution in Prague, and it started in the early 1990s. You've been involved, I believe, since the very beginning, or near the beginning?
Well, near the beginning. What happened is my friends, Láďa Winter and Jirka Neumann, founded the radio, and Lenka Vinerová. They founded the radio, and I consider myself to be a record collector, okay? And because I had lots of source of music, Jirka Neumann, who's a very well-known collector of the 80s music, his collection of the 80s is absolutely amazing. He's got everything.
Is all he the guy who does the 80s disco?
Yeah. But that's his collection. So he said, look, you got lots of other music. I can't play the 80s only all the time. So I would bring him tapes and CDs and vinyl to play on Radio 1. And he was playing it, and I always took it back because I was traveling the world. I wasn't here. So eventually he said, look, you know what? Do your own show. Stop bringing the music here. Do your own show. That's how he got me in. It wasn't my intention.
You've been doing it for well over two decades. What do you get out of the experience of playing your stuff on air?
Obviously, it's not for the money. The money's not in it. The very nice feeling is that I play my music and I meet people on the street somewhere in a shop or somewhere. They say, hey, I know your voice. Oh, you played that. Oh, that was such a good thing. I heard it last time I heard it. It was 40 years ago. That's amazing. Or a young kid comes over and says, hey, that was good. I sampled that and I made it into my track. So this is probably the best thing on playing music on Radio 1.
After your tennis career, you have been working installing sports facilities. Is that correct?
Yeah, tennis courts. I build a lot of tennis courts throughout Eastern Europe.
What kind of places do you go to or have you been to?
Hey, you name it. I've built a tennis court there. Russia, Mongolia, Uzbekistan, Poland, Hungary, Romania. Beautiful countries.
Maybe this is a naive question, but why do they need somebody coming so far away to build a tennis court?
Well, if you want it made out of synthetic turf or you want to make it out of artificial clay, then you need knowledge. And that's not generally available. And the good thing is it's an all-around year sport facility, and that helps. Because most of the people, they just build it and it's open for kids. And that's great.
And have you ever, in your travels, been working in places that were dangerous or where you got in any kind of hairy situations?
Oh, yeah. It hasn't been easy. Because I've been doing this for a long time. You know, situation changes very much. But 20 years ago, Bulgaria wasn't that safe. Nor was Russia. So
what kind of things could happen to you?
Oh, they would just pull out a gun and say, no, we're not going to do this. We want you to do it this way. You say, no, you can't. You have to do it this way. Otherwise, you don't get a license to play tournaments on it. They say, no, we don't care. You do it our way. But hey, it's not going to work. Nah. Yes. It hasn't been easy, but it's been fun. It's interesting and a lot of stories, and you meet a lot of very, very nice people.
Obviously, you're a big music fan. Who are your guys? Who are your favorite artists?
That's very hard to say, but I would say that I like Southern rock, so of course Lynyrd Skynyrd and Allman Brothers. But to answer the question, I have three dogs now, and we had puppies 2 years ago, and I named my puppies Jimmy, Janice, Mahalia, Stevie, Coco, Roy, Rory, Etta, and Albert. And it's very simple. Those are my really favorite musicians.
One thing I wonder about Southern rock music is, because it has a certain kind of image with the Confederate flags and so on, if being a fan of Southern rock influences fans' political outlook in some way.
Oh, no. Before I answer, I was... Step back, Burza, okay? Sometimes the police would come and take our vinyl and beat us up a little bit. But they were not stupid. They knew that for us, it's not a political meeting. For us, it's only interest in the music. And that's the same thing. It's an interest in the music and the pride that you are from this country, from this certain area. But that's all what it is about. It's not a political movement. And I think a lot of governmental institutions, even now, they make a mistake when they think that.
My final question, Tomáš, is you're an expert on, I guess, mainly American music. Who are the Czech artists who you admire?
Ah, that's the toughest question you gave me today. The answer would be nobody, because I come from the 70s. That was rubbish. You couldn't listen to it. But on the other hand, what the 90s brought and Radio 1 brought is the bands that nobody knew. And there's many of them. There's a prog band called Surround. They're absolutely amazing. It's just pure grunge. Nobody knows them, but they're so fabulous. There's a band called Red Baron. It's prog rock in a fabulous form. They even have a Mellotron. So there are bands here that thanks to the 90s and thanks to Radio 1, are worth listening to and worth finding out if they're playing somewhere just to go there. But the stuff from the 70s that's mainly on the radios now, you just can't listen to it.
Speaking there to Tomáš Vidra, the man whose knowledge of 1960s music can only be described as encyclopedic. This has been episode 35 of Prague Talk from Radio Prague International. So if you're new to us, there is plenty more where this came from. Sign up to Prague Talk wherever you get your podcasts and do give us a rating if you've got a couple of seconds. But for now, from me, Ian Willoughby, thank you very much indeed for listening to Prague Talk, and talk to you again very soon.